From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Really glad it is not live because it's the third time that I've hit the record button this morning. Usually it's fine and we go with it. We don't hit stop very often, but today I'm a little tongue-tied.
You've dropped some big words, though, so far this morning.
Have I?
It's 8:13 as we record this. And Yeah, you've dropped a couple of bombs here.
Let a couple fly this morning.
Here on a July Tuesday.
Yeah, again, glad it wasn't live, but we will press on this morning. Sponsored every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Get the daiquiri, get the Speed Pass Plus, save money, avoid identity theft. Pay right there at your mobile device at the tank. Don't have to worry about going inside. Don't have to worry about seeing people, talking to people. Neil McCready's dream with the Speed Pass Plus.
Amen.
Also, next door at the Oxford Crystal, get the pimento cheese bites. Get pimento cheese on your crystal if you so desire. Again, doesn't really have a mayonnaise taste. It's not going to taste like, for the people that hate the pimento mayonnaise taste, not that. Just a really good cheese taste there at the Oxford Crystal. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is that number. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you are looking for. He'll send you a quote. It's that simple. Ask for a couple of quotes. He'll send you those. And then you get your quotes, and you decide at that point just how complicated the process is or isn't going to be. You get your quote, you can shop it around, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our podcast, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. You get a great Ford vehicle, phenomenal service after the sale, just above and beyond anything you'll get anywhere else. Delivery options, everything you could be looking for to make it convenient for you to make an automotive purchase. It's there at Clark Ford in Amory. And at the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts, obviously including this one. And it's $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900.
We said this toward the end of the show the other day. The rumors were as high as 70%. It does not appear they got that high. However, the New York Daily News gutted in the past day or so. Sports desk. Talking about New York Daily News, I mean, potentially one of the largest sports departments in the country for decades. 34-9. They laid off all but 9 people in the sports department. Laid off all 12 sports photographers that they had on staff. Just a complete gutting and the most recent blow to the newspaper industry that has had an inability to evolve into something that still produces revenue in 2018.
I mean, legends in that field were fired yesterday.
I mean,
Frank Isola is one of the...
You got to think some dudes are going to the Athletic here in the next 2 weeks, don't you?
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I mean, Frank Isola is a basketball legend. Covered the Knicks for 25 years. He knows everyone in the NBA. I mean, his cell phone is probably an NBA Rolodex. They're going to cover the Yankees and the Mets with wire services. This is the New York Daily News, famous for its back pages. Mm-hmm. They're going to cover the Yankees and the Mets with wire services. No one's... You're telling me people are going to read that?
No, it's a white flag. It's
so why not just shut it down?
Because, look, you've got to make money. You've got to find ways to be profitable, to find enough revenue. But you've also got to give people credit. We've talked about this all the time. And I'm going to talk about both sides of my mouth here a little bit.
Okay.
Because on one side, people still like engaging content. We say that through our numbers. We write things that are engaging. People read it. They spend the time to read it. The duration of time is good.
I mean, let's break that down for people.
Yeah.
Let's interrupt your point.
Yeah.
Because I think people like this inside baseball stuff.
Okay.
And I like it when I hear it from other people.
Okay.
You know, like after a baseball trade's made, I love to read the story about how the trade went down.
Right.
I've gotten onto you a bunch about, hey, man, you need to write something on like Wednesday or Thursday, like a thought thing.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote that the other day about your daughter, the three thoughts, and the last thing was about your daughter, and everybody eats that up.
Yeah, yeah.
People ask me all the time, man, why do you do 10 weekend thoughts? That's a lot of work on Sunday, isn't it? Yeah, it's a lot of work. I do it for two reasons. One, it's sponsored. And two, people read it.
Our it's the most read thing we have all week.
Our analytics show that it's read, which is mind-boggling to me, but
it's usually 2,000 words-ish, I would assume. I don't know.
I've never counted.
Okay. Well, the thing I use just shows a word thing on it. And typically, the duration per read is several minutes, which in this field, in this age, is a freaking eternity compared to most people and how long they read something.
People stay on it like 3 minutes, which is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
That's why we do it. Is it a lot of work? Some weeks. This past week, I've gotten where I'll write it during a game. Cubs were playing the Cardinals. I turned on the game in the pregame and started. And by the time the game was over, I had done 8 thoughts. So it was, for me, it was a pretty productive afternoon. People don't, like as we get ready for football practice, we will have these internal debates with one another. It's not even really a debate because I think we're on the same side. It's, man, we go to these practices and we sit around and we wait and we wait and we wait. And then they bring in a coach and they bring in a couple of players. And the whole media scrum, there's what, 12, 13 of us? Everybody pulls out their iPads or their iPhones or whatever and videos and throws those videos up. So the content that we get is regurgitated immediately in multiple forms. We sometimes question, why are we doing this? No one, I shouldn't say no one, most of you don't watch those videos. And where we get hung up and we make the mistake, I guess, is by the time you go sit, you know, we have to leave and go to our homes or wherever, the media relations office or whatever, and sit down and transcribe the quotes and put them into context and provide some sort of contextual look to it. People are already discussing it on the message board because they've seen the video at oldhottytoddy.com. And I know there's not an oldhottytoddy.com. I'm just making that up as an example. But it's like the other day, we did Matt Luke. We had 11 minutes with Matt Luke before he went down and started the formal SEC Media Day stuff. There were guys on the beat who literally took that 11-minute tape and just threw it up without context.
There actually is an oldhottytoddy.com.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Okay, newhottytoddy.com.
Yeah, all right. No, but you're with a couple different points here. But the point you're making is people like content with analysis. They like human interest content. They like intelligent content.
Yes.
If anything, in some ways, the consumer is getting smarter because the recap and the press release no longer does anything for them. They don't care about game stories. They watch the game. There's 1,000 different ways to watch the game. This isn't 1950 where you listened on the radio or you couldn't get the out-of-town broadcast and you really needed the New York Times the next morning to figure out what the crap happened.
Yeah.
Here, it's about, okay, I don't care. I know what happened. Why did it happen? What's next? That's all this thing is. So what the New York Daily News is doing is taking away that content and now just putting press releases out, for the lack of a better term.
No, I mean, one's going to read.
Yeah, that's why it's the white flag. I mean, that's what I talk about all the time. I mean, you take Twitter too seriously as far as an actual demographic, and you get in trouble because, no, there's a segment. Now, it's got to be good, but they want the thoughtful stuff. They want the engaged stuff. They want people who they have relationships with writing it, frankly.
If you're a Mets fan right now, what do you want to know? It's a week before the trade deadline.
It is.
Your team's not winning.
No.
You want to know, are we trading Noah Syndergaard? Are we trading Jacob DeGrom? If so, what does that signal? What does it mean? What is the long-term plan? And if not, why not? Those are the questions you have. And if we trade them this offseason, are we going to trade Steven Matz? What is the situation with Yoenis Cespedes' feet? Is this potentially career ending? None of that stuff is going to be in an AP Wire story.
How's Tim Tebow's handmade bone that he broke?
I've always made fun of Tebow. I don't know why.
He's having a really good year.
He had a really nice year. And it's further proof that the guy is such an athlete that had he started playing baseball at 19 or 20,
probably,
he'd have had a real shot.
Yeah.
A real shot.
The other thing, though, it's where I'm getting off both sides of my mouth a little bit, but not all the way. I mean, you know, people read us in some ways because one of two things. They either trust us or they kind of like us, one of the two. Or both. I do worry a little bit, though. There's such a large segment of the country, and the Daily News may be dealing with this a little bit from a political side, from a how they cover things on that part of the paper.
Oh, I know where you're going.
That you really consume media based on what you want to hear, and that's a dangerous path to be down, because it does feel like more and more people are just interested in
propaganda.
Well, yeah.
If it's one side, it is propagandistic, usually.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's been the case for a long time with cable news networks.
Yes.
But now it's bleeding over into print and internet media really hard as well. When you look at, here's the three things I look at every morning, and most likely they're going to tell me what I already believe, what I already know, and for sure what I want to feel moving forward. And that's dangerous.
What's been the one knock on us? You've been doing this with me for 9 years. Plus years. What's the one knock on us?
That we're not more emotionally engaged.
That's it.
Now it's a dwindling segment by the day.
Of course. But it's always been really the one knock. For a while, it was, well, you guys don't cover recruiting hard enough. And we looked at it, and we're like, yeah, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe we're just stretched too thin, and maybe we need to add a recruiting guy. So we did.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if anything, we cover recruiting with almost too much minutia. Russell does a great job covering recruiting. We cover recruiting. We cover baseball. We cover football. We cover basketball. We cover. We bring commentary. We do all of those things. It's the one thing. Frankly, the people who compete against us try to compensate or overcompensate in that category. People love there are people out there who only read their news from one spot. It validates their worldview, whatever their worldview may be.
Shrinks their worldview, but in a very comfortable place.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes them very
narrow. The pillow is very soft in that small place.
It makes them very narrow-minded, certainly, yes. But it's validating to them.
I don't know what the answer is, but as you've always said, the main worry with this is, from a sports standpoint, yeah, we'll handle it, we're good. But as these newspapers die, who's covering government? Who's covering the legislature? Who's covering the things that frankly matter, unlike sports?
To read the list of all the things. The New York Daily News is known for their headlines and their back pages.
Well, they're tabloids.
Sure.
Yeah.
But did you read some of the things that they uncovered in New York, where they did the work of what the free press is supposed to do? Uncovered corruption.
Yeah, do we have specialized websites that start doing that? Do you almost have a rivals.com for government? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but that is my fear, just as a citizen, is the lack of newspapers and the ability to cover and watchdog to the level that is necessary.
I think it's a very valid fear. It's why when people go, are you guys excited about the Clarion Ledger struggling? No, not really.
I mean, it's why I know a couple people over there. You know, I think Rick Cleveland's writing for them right now. It's why I root for Mississippi Today. They're a nonprofit digital website that just covers politics and different stuff. Yeah, absolutely. All for it. Hope it works.
Yeah, because you need people to dig in on stuff. Government needs to be covered.
And you need competition.
Yeah.
In every facet.
Sure. It's a very valid point. What's weird to me, as someone who was in newspapers 11 years ago, I mean, I can remember, Chase. I mean, I really can. And I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I mean, this field has a lot of smart people in it, usually. Has a lot of dumb people in it, but it has a lot of smart people in it. I can remember 2005, 6, asking questions and not liking the answers. And if I could see some of the trends and ask questions and get insufficient answers, surely other people could too. And so the people, as we sit here in the second half, the beginning of the second half of 2018, when people seem surprised that newspapers aren't working, I don't understand that. I don't mean that in a ridicule, in a fashion of ridicule. I'm baffled that they don't see it.
Well, they didn't want to see it. I mean,
maybe it's along the lines of the way that people consume news. The people that, you know, people, if you're a hard right winger, you just watch Fox News. If you're a hard left winger, you just watch MSNBC. And by God, they'll tell you what you want to hear. And maybe it's those same people are people. Maybe the people that were running the news business just did not want to look at the analytics, just did not want to see the trends, and they stuck their heads in the proverbial sand and let it go.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm a media nerd, and it's just sad on both fronts because you've got a lessening product. And then you have lack of competition. I mean, that's still where I come back to that we haven't talked a lot about. And I mean, we're going to move on in a second. But, you know, when you take it even locally with us, I mean, we've worked very hard to be progressive and try new things. Some have worked splendidly, like podcasts. Some haven't. We've scrapped them. But, you know, you probably maybe don't go that far if there's not a very competitive opponent on the other side in your market. Whereas, look, I worked there 10 years ago. There's no doubt the spirit has evolved because of us over the last 10 years. I mean, both sides have in some way strengthened each other in their own paths and own ways. I mean, you know, this isn't we don't cover things exactly the same way by any stretch, but we have tried new ideas because of the others. There's no doubt about that, so.
You know what's interesting though in our field, specifically in sports. I mean, I got a call just yesterday, and I won't go any further with it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, could I call you one day this week and talk to you about podcasts? We're thinking about starting a podcast. And it's a market.
Oh, I get that a lot.
I know you do. It's a market that's much bigger than ours.
Yeah.
And it's why are you not already doing it? And it's, why do you guys do it? Why do you guys give up that much of your time? Well, we turned it into a revenue stream.
And it's, you know, when it started, it wasn't a huge revenue stream. When it started, and where I was right, was it allows people to know us better. It will bring a more community feeling to the website and just to, for lack of a better word, our brand, if you will. And it's done that. I mean, I've had a lot of people go, hey, I subscribe to the site because of the podcast.
Yeah.
I listened every day. And maybe I didn't really care about the site, but, hey, I felt like you were giving me $9 worth, so that's how I showed it back to you. Those type of things. I mean, it began as a marketing tool, as a trial and error, and let's see what happens. And we were doing Talk Shoe and doing it weekly where we're praying to God Skype didn't die 7 years ago, whatever it was. And then it's here, and the other thing is that a lot of people in media don't like selling. They don't like trying to find a way to ask for money or to go down that road in some
Jay?
Ways. Yeah, he Jay. God. Jay. Yeah, I don't know. Some see themselves as a sellout, which makes no sense in the world, but no. Fine. That's the guy that's taking yourself really seriously.
Used to happen to me in Mobile. When I was working at WNSP and at the Mobile Register, they were like, well, you can do radio, but you can't do any endorsements. And I said, wait, what? You can't do any endorsements. You can't go on location and endorse, be seen as endorsing a car dealer or a restaurant or.
That changed your opinions on sports.
And I said, why? if I go to a Chevrolet dealer and do the show from the Chevy dealer, how is that impacting anything involving my integrity as a reporter? They never could answer that. And I said, what you're asking me to do is to give up a $150 talent fee that I get just to drive my car to that car dealer, park it, and go sit in a WNSP van and do a broadcast. You're asking me to give that up for what? And that's when I realized there were a lot of people in journalism. It was my first true exposure to a lot of people in journalism did not really understand and embrace capitalism.
Well, it's also shown how things have changed media-wise, where even down to our very small level, yeah, it's about the content you produce and your employer, but more by the day, it's more about your personal brand or yourself than it is actually who you work for or where your content's actually going. People find the place that people write. You know what I mean? Like, sure. People will find you. I mean, if you moved, you know, Bill Simmons went to The Ringer or created The Ringer or whatever. All the people that listened to the BS report on ESPN didn't suddenly go, oh, my God, he's no longer here. We're done.
No, like, they
found him. Yeah. It was the product is Bill Simmons. The product's not The Ringer or HBO or sure. ESPN or the BS report or whatever. They listen to Bill talk about whatever it is Bill's talking about that day. And
yeah.
that's what they do. I mean, we've got a very low level of that. So
yeah, we don't quite have his numbers.
Don't have his numbers. Yeah.
It'd be nice if we did.
I'd love his numbers.
Yes.
His numbers. He'd love Corolla's numbers. Everybody's looking up to somebody. There's except Corolla.
Corolla's only looking up to God. I don't think there's much more than that.
So
I don't think Corolla's thinking, you know, I gotta catch so and so.
Yeah.
I don't
Anyway. All right, we'll move on in a second. First tell you that Locker Stockers is here to take the hassle out of stocking your locker or your suite. They'll do it for you. The customer places the order, and they handle purchase and delivery to the locker or suite before game day, Vaught Hemingway Stadium, the Pavilion, or Oxford University Stadium, depending on the time of year. Also, they're offering an early sign-up by offering 10% discount on the season package if the customer signs up before August 1st, 662-586-1487, or info at lockerstockers.com.
We've been telling you about Robert Gambrell and Gambrell and Associates for a while. Robert knows that many of the people listening to this podcast will never need a bankruptcy attorney or a Social Security disability attorney. However, many of you may be interested in reviewing your financial situation to consider asset protection. This is a part of what a good bankruptcy attorney does. Also, many of you have friends and or relatives that get into difficult financial situations. Gambrell and Associates helps many people work through their times of hardship, whether that results in filing a bankruptcy petition or working to avoid a bankruptcy filing. Others are worried about the credit score. For those people, we often refer clients to Brian McLaurin, another advertiser on this podcast. Sometimes people find the fastest way to rebuild is similar to what the Cubs did, the Astros did. Tear it down and start over, and this can be done by filing for relief under Chapter 7 to get a fresh start. Whatever your needs are, you, your relatives, or friends can get a free consultation for 1 hour or more to help make your decision on what is best for you. Get in touch with Gambrell and Associates. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Fantastic lease deals as well. Get in touch with Gene and Sandy there at the dealership. Tell them that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast at rebelgrove.com, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And the aforementioned 10 Weekend Thoughts are sponsored each week by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you are looking for. And then send him an email. It's ha@HarryAlexander.com. And Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. So be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Speaking of, Chase, have you been following all of the I'm sure you have. You've seen it. If you haven't seen it, it's been sent to you 1,000 times. Ole Miss appears to be on the – they appear to be setting up, I'm guessing, a revelation of the new mascot.
Well, it was supposed to be debuted basically at the first football game, right, or at least football season. So I guess they're on schedule for that.
I don't know. They appear to be releasing something new each day this week in relation to Shark Week.
Yeah.
No one's told me this, and I haven't asked because I'm not on the mascot beat. But
we have been on the mascot beat.
We've been on the mascot beat. I was a bigger fan of Rebel the Black Bear than most.
You did like Rebel the Black Bear.
I thought it made sense. It was fine. It's the shark thing is funny to me.
The day they kill the bear or introduce the shark or whatever it was that day, I'm never going to write a book on this, but if I did, that would be a chapter that one day because so many people that I can't quote had so many really funny stories that day on how some things happened. Anyway, sorry, go ahead. I'm just kind of.
Love to hear that.
Yeah. That's
the shark thing cracks me up. People are so excited about the shark. The land shark. And then if I were them, I would drop the land off the shark and just embrace the shark. It makes more sense. Mississippi's a big state. It's connected to the Gulf of Mexico on one of the borders. There are sharks in the Gulf of Mexico swimming in Mississippi waters. Cool. I don't know what a land shark is.
It was a Saturday Night Live skit, right? Were there land sharks on Saturday Night Live?
Yes.
It's a shark on land.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. And
it's also a beer.
It is a beer. Let me say this before anybody gets worked up. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
You're trying to tell them to get rid of Rebels, aren't you? That's what you're doing.
The shark would give you an insurance policy if you ever had to.
In all seriousness, what would be a reason that you had to?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to even imagine what that scenario would be. We live in, as you know, because you live in the same times I do, we live in an awfully...
volatile PC world.
Yes, that seems to be going more and more in that direction.
It's going to reset. Something
you could well be right, but in the event that you're not right and it ever got to the place where you simply could not be the Rebels because it impacted your enrollment, it impacted your endowment, it impacted the financial ability. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't foresee these things because if I could, buddy, we'd go to Vegas.
I mean, it would take a sequence of just flash button topics. I mean, just boom, boom. You know what I mean? Like, it had to be some chaos happening in some way that we can't really put our minds around.
Sure.
But I understand what you're saying.
I mean, I'm not. That's a great point. I'll touch on it in a minute. But this one's worth getting to. Remind me. I'm not advocating the shark as a mascot. Don't get me wrong. I do whatever you want as a mascot. I do hope for Ole Miss's sake that whatever they do, I hope they brand it and embrace it and try to capitalize on it financially. If you're going to be the land sharks, lake sharks, whatever you're going to be, run one out there on the field. Not a person. I mean, a person inside a costume, but let it look like a shark. Sell stuffed sharks with Ole Miss jerseys on them. Make money. Don't be scared. So much of the bear, they were terrified of what would happen. They were afraid people were going to throw stuff at the bear. All right, well, then find the people who throw stuff at the bear and kick them out.
Yeah, do this. San Jose, the NHL team, they're the Sharks.
Yeah. Yes.
Stuffed shark Amazon.com.
Yeah, I just found it. He's wearing
a shark jersey.
He or she is wearing a shark jersey. I like what like Arkansas does, what Florida does. Probably other schools that I can't think of right now. I think Kentucky does it. Run out a boy mascot and a girl gator and a boy gator.
Yeah, Florida's got Allen Alley or whatever it is.
Absolutely. It's for kids, right? Little boys are going to like Al. Little girls are going to like Allie. Let them run out there. Don't be terrified. Because people, no matter what you do in this deal, if you're Ole Miss, people are going to make, the people who are too cool are going to make fun of it. And there's going to be an old person group out there that says, Colonel Rebel's my mascot. At the risk of sounding really calloused, the overwhelming majority of those people are old in the tooth. And the young people that are that way, they're not making any money. I mean, they're not. Those are not your future donors. Those people are not producing your future students. I'm just keeping this real. You're laughing at me and kind of cringing, but you know, yeah. I'm right. Otherwise, you'd be like, that's a little harsh. I'm right. The 22-year-old guy that's running around with the Colonel thing is Colonel is my mascot. With the Confederate flag in the back of his truck is not producing the future students. He's not producing future national merit scholars.
Or he's from Dallas. No, is an Ole Miss student simply because he got in and has no idea of anything actually going on.
And that's fair, too.
Yeah.
Regardless, those are not the people.
A lot of times, it's something, and this is not about those states. I have some buddies that go, you're always blaming us. No, I'm just not what I'm doing. But a lot of times when crap happens, you look up and it goes, oh, out-of-state student from Atlanta or out-of-state student from Lubbock. And it's like, well, yeah, okay.
Well, usually when it happens, if you say, take a guess where it's from, I'm going immediately, Georgia.
That's your free space.
Georgia. That's my free spot. You know the center thing in Mingo? That's my center space.
Tic-tac-toe. Georgia would be the middle one where you put the X every time to start the game.
We'll start right there. Yeah. Start with Georgia.
Some buddies from Georgia are going to be really mad at me in a little while.
But they won't argue. They'll know you're right. They'll just be a little angry that you pointed it out.
Now you got to sell it. Kids will be fine. Kids will learn it. They're all good. No problems.
So far,
they're already doing it, so just do it well. It's all good.
You've clearly made up your mind to do it.
Yeah.
You've got everybody. Hell, even Chancellor Vitter flashing the little land shark thingy.
Yeah. Took a picture with a shark one day, I saw.
Did he?
Yeah. Like a stuffed shark or something.
That's fantastic. Where was that shark from? I don't know. Which waters did it come from?
I'm not sure.
What temperatures did it like? Do you know?
I do not.
What does it feed on?
Yeah. What was the size of the school that it came from?
Yeah.
Is shark still a school? Because fish are school, or do they have another name?
I don't know.
What is a group of sharks?
Scary.
Well, yeah, thanks.
I watched Ronda Rousey versus a shark the other day. It was well done. I watched the whole thing.
What do you call a group of sharks? A group of sharks is called a gam, herd, frenzy, school, or shiver.
So you can use school when you're acting.
It appears that you can use school. I've never heard the name gam for a group
either.
Of
I haven't either.
A group of anything. Gam. Sorry. Anyway. All right, I'm done.
So yesterday, Jim Harbaugh at Big Ten Media Days.
He did.
Quote, I love football. I think it, referring to football, is the last bastion of hope for toughness in America in men. I responded on Twitter, and one of my followers, he appears to be, his name is Kyle Crosby. That uses future sanctions is his
okay.
He says the greatest generation would probably disagree that football was what made the men tough. Good point.
I'm
Harbaugh's become a cartoon character.
Well, because he can't win. He's holding on to any sentimental value or hope other than actually football games. Because he keeps finishing third in his division. Not in the Big Ten, in his division.
Yes.
Houston Nutt had a better success rate in the SEC West than Harbaugh has at Michigan to this point. He does.
I know.
Finished second once or twice. With Orgeron's players.
I'm not saying that
I'm tired of the narrative in general. I'm tired of the conversation, frankly. It's one of those that's never going to stop because it is an emotional topic that is going to support your base and get people fired up. That's why Harbaugh's doing it. It's all Harbaugh does, and that's what this is. Now, look, saying anything to that extent is the most hyperbolic crap in the world. Whatever. Read that one more time. The last hope. Was it hope?
The quote is, "I love football. I think football is the last bastion of hope for toughness in America in men."
Football at a high school level. Let me phrase this the way I want to phrase it. Does teach some perseverance that you don't necessarily find in every activity. Because of the physical demands and whatnot. And now I'm not saying that's good or bad or whatever, but that's true. Anything more than that, I feel like we're really jumping off a cliff a little bit. Is that fair?
It's like I tweeted last night my response to it for those who don't follow me on Twitter, and there's likely a lot of you, thank goodness. I said, "Oh, for the love of God, it's an effing game. Nothing more, nothing less. Lots of incredible men never played football. Lots of horrible people did, and vice versa, both ways." I just don't believe that you can draw a straight line from football to greatness. I don't buy that. I'm sorry. It's a game. It's a game that teaches teamwork. It's a game where you practice a lot and play a little.
Yeah.
Which is in many ways what work is.
Yeah.
It does teach some life lessons. And there are some people who teach football who are great men who serve as father figures of sorts for young people.
Yeah.
Now, there are people who teach football who, quite frankly, I wouldn't trust them in my home for 10 minutes. That just goes back. I've met wonderful people in coaching. I've met horrible people in coaching. I've met people who played football who I think were wonderful people. I've met people who played football who I think were horrible people. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I think football for some people is for some people it's just a game. For some people it's a new lease on life. All of those things. But you could say that about almost anything. There's people who basketball saves them. There's people who baseball saves them. There's people who find a home in the theater, in arts, in
band,
in sure. Music. Yes, exactly.
I guess. Sure, why not?
Yeah, sure. Kids all
Look,
over.
Teamwork's teamwork. In high school, you need to be able. You need to be taught teamwork, persistence, dedication. And frankly, you need to be taught that the world's not fair and you're not going to be as good at something as somebody else. And you can get those from football. You can get those from baseball. Sure. I certainly
did. My daughter
did.
Caroline gets it from dance.
Yeah.
She got up this morning and went to dance. She's at dance at Oxford High School right now. And they're busting their tails. She'll come home sweaty. She'd rather be asleep. Part of a team. And this afternoon, she'll go to her dance company and do that dance, and she'll be sore tonight, and she'll get up tomorrow and do it again. And that's the same thing. And I realize he said in men, there's lots of men who don't play football who are awfully tough people. And there's lots of people who play football who aren't that tough. If we're depending on, it's where Harbaugh, it's where he's a cartoon at character. How do you define toughness? What is toughness? What is that? You know, I mean, are you referring to physical toughness? Are you referring to mental toughness? Are you, what are you referring to? And so it's where, frankly, someone in the media yesterday when he said that should have raised their hand. Elaborate, please. Are you saying that people who don't play football have no chance at toughness? And when he says, no, that's not what I'm saying, well, can you elaborate on what it is that you're saying? Can you get past the cliche, sir? And if you're going to delve into this, get into what that means. Define toughness. It's a big word, Jim. It's a big word. Define it for me.
How was he not on the hot seat?
I don't know.
They're so obsessed with being one of them. I mean, what are we doing?
I don't know. I'm fascinated by it.
Because it's not just he has the third best team in his division. He's probably the fourth or fifth best coach in his division.
Not as good as Meyer.
Or James Franklin.
Franklin. Fitzgerald. Better coach.
Yeah, I don't know divisions in the Big Ten. I hate admitting that.
I'm just naming Big Ten coaches that I think are better coaches than him. Mark D'Antoni's a better coach.
Yeah.
People say, what are you basing this on? Results. I'm basing it on results. Relative to where the person is. You could probably argue that Crist at Wisconsin is a better coach. He won at Pitt. He's winning at Wisconsin.
The coaches in the Big Ten right now. Okay. Tom Allen hadn't done anything to be in that realm.
Yeah, I'm not putting him there.
No. I mean, Harbaugh has a lot of success at Stanford, how he built that program.
He did.
That counts.
A lot of success with the 49ers.
Yeah, it counts.
It's been a disaster at Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan's the problem. Chris Ash, no. Jeff Brohm.
Not yet.
No, I'm intrigued by him.
I might bet on him, but go ahead.
Paul Chris.
I could argue.
You at least make an argument. Mark D'Antonio.
He's better.
No, DJ Durkin. No. Kirk Ferentz.
He's had a run of
success. It's different.
He's had a run of sustained success.
I think if you just count college, it's a coin flip.
If I offered Ole Miss Kirk Ferentz's tenure at Iowa at Ole Miss.
Take it. In a heartbeat. Well, I was trying to think if he ever got over in one bit. You know what I mean? I was trying to think what his ceiling is.
Went to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, he did. That's what I was thinking. With Beathard.
Yeah. I mean, if your whole argument's national championships, come on.
PJ Fleck, no.
Not yet.
James Franklin, yes.
Yes.
Pat Fitzgerald, yes.
Yes.
Scott Frost, not yet.
Not yet.
Urban Meyer, duh.
Yeah.
And then Lovie Smith. AFC championship winner, Lovie Smith.
Well,
NFC championship.
Yeah,
winner.
He coached the Super Bowl.
I mean, Harbaugh did too.
Yeah.
Kind of the point, though. You can run it in. I mean, it can.
The NFL game's about players.
A little bit. It's our best what if that we do. We do it every year just when it strikes me fancy. I mean, yeah, Nick Saban, Houston Nutt wins the SEC West at Ole Miss if Drew Brees goes to Miami. I mean, that's period. That's
Alabama's renaissance never happens.
No.
If the Miami Dolphins doctors sign off on
Rich rides at Bama, Neil Story runs on the day of his vasectomy.
And it was such a good story. I was going to win awards for that story.
Yeah.
I'd gone and gotten stuff from the coal miners.
It's good.
It was long. People say, where is that? That Neil McCready was a lot younger. He was a go-getter. He had not resigned. He had not surrendered.
We didn't even submit things for awards last year.
No, I don't need Mississippi awards.
You know, no, the APSC. We didn't even do that.
No, we didn't. It was going to take time.
Got a couple things I probably should submit this year. But,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I mean, several coaches.
That story would have won national awards.
And then you don't even keep it is the part that is baffling me. It just goes away. It's in oblivion.
Never ran.
Well, but okay, but you got a copy somewhere?
It was multiple computers ago.
Well, yeah, I get that.
I guess I should have emailed it to myself.
What kind of computer were you using at that point?
I don't remember.
You don't?
I really don't. Some sort of a Microsoft. It was a good story.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. Really good. Easily the best story I've ever written.
When we get off the show in a minute, say the word Podbean to me, please.
All right.
Podbean. Do that for me?
Yeah, I think.
All right. In the meantime, I'll tell you that the Mid-South is growing faster than ever. If you'd like to make Memphis your new home, the name to know is Stacy Berry, a Keller Williams agent who's looking to help you find your special place, whether it's downtown, midtown, Germantown, or Collierville. Keller Williams, the number one real estate agency in the world, number one in agents, units sold, and volume sold. And the Berry home team is now an integral part of that brand. If you're a first-time home buyer looking to downsize, Stacy will evaluate and determine your current home value and sell it quickly for top dollar. So if you're looking to sell a home, buy a home, or invest in real estate, the Berry Home Team is the place to let Stacy unlock Memphis for you. 901-481-6420 or StacyLaneBerry at KW.com or TheBerryHomeTeam.com. That's Stacy with an E, Berry, the name to know in Memphis.
Guest will mercifully join us on the podcast this week. And as the season gets going, we're still working on kind of our weekly football season schedule. So we'll get to that at some point. But guests will join us on the Billy's Pecans hotline. You can get Billy's Pecans right now. You'll love them. You start getting ready for your tailgates, your college football parties, maybe your NFL parties, whatever. Try the Cheese Krispies there at Billy's Pecans. You won't regret it. They're now available in 1-pound boxes, 2-pound boxes. Try the Southern Pecan Toffee. It's fantastic. The pecan brittle, the cinnamon pecan coffee cake, the blueberry pecan coffee cake, sauces, jellies, of course, all the pecans. It's all there at billiespecans.com. That's billiespecans.com. 1-800-624-7404. Do us a favor when you talk to Stacy or Bailey. Please tell them you heard about them here on the podcast or on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. That would be nice of you, and we would appreciate it.
Podcast also brought to you by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. The app is great as well and located there in Holly Springs. 662-252-2321 is the phone number, whether it's Sildenafil or some other medication. You can fill out a form, let them know your doctor's name, the prescription to you, and deliver it wherever you are. They're also now in Oxford as well with G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar, undergoing a bit of renovation, going to have a grand opening or reopening soon, and they deliver anywhere in the Oxford area.
Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. With Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000 and refund ATM fees nationwide. OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% APY, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. And with that three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Gabe DeArmond just sent me a text that said, who's the bigger, and I can't use the word.
Oh.
It rhymes with dip hit.
Okay.
And he said, Harbaugh or Fedora?
What was Fedora's comment?
Fedora was about, there's no proven correlation between CTE and football.
Oh, okay.
I think Jeffrey fought with Fedora a little bit. I think it was more nuanced than that.
Well, I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot to get more nuanced than that, or basically any coach's comments in these regards. Yeah, and I'm not really in the mood.
Here's where I am on the football thing. Football, hockey, soccer, lots of sports. They're obviously, look, if you're going to sit here and say that there's no correlation between football and the potential for brain injuries, well, you're insane. We're past that. Can you play football at the junior high school level and the high school level and not absorb brain injuries to the point that you're going to get CTE? Yes. Is there a chance that you're playing football and you're producing trauma to the brain even at the high school level? Yes. Yes. When you watch a college football game, are you watching people get concussed at times? Yes. Are concussions bad for the brain? Yes. Girls soccer, for whatever reason, the way that the female brain develops, it's becoming a problem in girls soccer.
Okay.
They've got to eliminate, and probably you will probably see over the next 15, 20 years, you'll probably see heading eliminated in the girls soccer game. You're going to see them play balls off their body instead of playing balls off their head. If you told me that in 30 years, the men's game no longer has heading because they're trying to protect players, or that the players wear some sort of a helmet to play, I would buy it. Sports, there's risk. Inherent in sport is risk. I mean, you know, Chris Bryant got a ball to the head. It hit the helmet, Chase. It hit his helmet, thank God, because had it hit his face, it would have.
Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
And he hasn't really returned in the same way. I'm not convinced he sees the ball the same way. I think he probably got concussed. Concussions are bad. They're not limited to football. You understand, I think, now when you play football that there is some risk. If you play football into your 30s in the NFL, yes, you are at an increased risk of getting brain injuries. I don't think that, but that doesn't, the people that want to turn it into, we must eliminate the game. No, people understand the risk. You understand the risk.
I wonder, and what we hadn't seen a whole lot of, because even that story, whoever did it, who did the really big CTE story where they had all the statistics and they checked all the people? It was, I don't know, the Washington Post or somebody. I really don't remember. What, and I don't know what Jeffrey said. He and I have talked about this a lot, but not to any great deal.
Well, Jeffrey's point, and it's a very good one, and it's worth pointing out here, is that one of the things that you can't, you can debate it. One of the things that has to really make a some sort of a medical finding, right, on what are the impacts of, when you take all these former NFL players and you say this guy's a shell of his former self and Junior Seau committed suicide and all that, how much of that was due to CTE and how much of that was due to what over his career was a reliance on painkillers? On supplements to get bigger and stronger? How much of it was just abuse to your body over the course of decades?
Well, I think it's also relevant, too, that I think we're still in the infancy stages of learning about CTE, figuring out exactly what triggers it, what causes it in every way. And also, and look, I'm throwing out a thought here more than anything else. I'm far from a doctor. I don't fully trust, not trust as in it doesn't exist. It exists. That's not what I mean. But from a really detailed situation, I don't know that I fully trust a disorder or syndrome or whatever it is that can only be diagnosed after death. You know what I mean? I feel like that changes so many factors with how we understand something when there's no way to detect any element of it or degree of it while a person is living.
Yeah, I think they're working on that.
Yeah, of course.
And it will be interesting when they can. You're right. I mean, it's...
That will change the dynamics so much to see progressions.
Yeah, like, for example, there's that one study where they studied 111 former NFL players' brains, mm-hmm. and 110 had CTE. Is that a link? Yes, of course. Again, I mean, for people to say, well, there's no link, of course there's a link.
But I'd like to see general population percentages.
Let's take 111 other
carpenters, men, bankers, lawyers.
And run the test.
Yeah.
I don't know that we've done that.
Yeah, is it going to be 2% or is it going to be 88%? I don't know.
Right.
No clue.
I don't know.
I don't know if you and I are going to have CTE in 20 years for no reason. You know what I mean? Like, no reason. You know what I mean? I mean,
sure.
Hey, a baseball hit me in the nose when I was 16. Did that cause something? I don't know.
Well, I mean, the worst injury I ever suffered was in baseball.
Well, me too. I got hit by a comebacker that broke my nose.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I played football. I wasn't very good.
Yeah, see, I only played 1 year of high school football, and I don't think I ever had a concussion or anything. So I learned quickly that was not my athletic future.
I got concussed playing front yard football.
Yeah, and I'm sure that happens constantly.
It was the day that Ronald Reagan was elected president of the United States. And we had the day off because it was election day.
He had election day off?
Uh-huh.
Really?
And I played football up at Greg Taylor's house.
How's Greg Taylor these days?
I'm not sure. Okay. And I tackled Chris Buggs. I went low, and I took a knee to the head.
He was like Jerome Bettis for y'all's group. Hit you with one of those knees or thighs, and that was it.
He was a big boy. And I took a knee to the head, just kind of tackled him a little wrong, and got concussed.
How's he doing these days?
I don't know. I think he is the uncle of Isaiah.
Really?
Buggs, yeah.
Okay. I'm stunned that you don't keep up with so many of your former friends and classmates. Really, it's
I know my 30th.
It's changing my day.
My 30th high school reunion is this October. It's actually the weekend that Ole Miss is off.
You gotta go, right?
Well, I don't want to go.
You probably like more of those people than you like in a lot of other groups. You are Mr. Bearcat, for goodness sake.
Mr. Rustin High School.
Whatever.
I was a Bearcat. Once a Bearcat, always a damn Bearcat.
It's not Mr. Bearcat, it's Mr. Rustin High?
Mr. Rustin High School.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. You gotta go. Why wouldn't you go? It's 2 days.
Because I'd rather like go to the beach.
In late October?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's the time to go to the beach.
Okay. Go to the stupid reunion. Go have some pigs in the blanket and some chicken tenders and sausage and cheese plate or something. Reminisce about the old days. How many people do you think show up? What percentage for your 30th reunion?
I don't know. I have no idea.
How many did you graduate with?
Like 300.
Okay. 75, maybe.
75%?
No, people.
Oh, I was going to say, 'cause that's a lot.
No, there's no way. You don't get that for a 10-year or something.
How many of your high school, well, you're still young.
I still ask it, I mean.
How many of your high school people would you even recognize?
I mean, I would recognize most of them. Now, I said this the other day, and I mean, it's not your level because I've replaced them with other people, obviously. I talk to a lot of people every day. But seriously, people I went to high school with that I still speak to, not in a bad way, just never see them, have no communication with them. I mean, less than 3 a year. No one on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis. Not one.
Yeah.
None.
I have seen.
Yeah, I'll run into them from time to time, and we'll have a, hey, whatever, but
I have seen 3 former classmates in person in the last 5 years. Met up with one of my former classmates in Chicago. Met up with her and her husband and their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went to Dallas with my brothers, a couple of my high school friends, classmates were there, and we met for lunch.
Yeah, I ran into one in a golf tournament last year, and then another one actually that same day whose husband was playing in the golf tournament, and I saw her at the Calcutta. I think that's about it. There's not one. I mean, I talk to between 5 and 10 people every day, I would think, and almost all those are either college buddies or people I have met since college that I'm friends with. Now, there's no one from an earlier point of, you know, you look back and it really does change your perspective on when you were 16 and you thought that was the entire world, and then you get older and that has really no impact on your development or your life whatsoever.
No.
None.
None. I mean, you still.
Yeah, like your first high school breakup and you're like, oh my God, I am going to die tomorrow. Then later on you go, yeah, that was good. That was good. Yeah. On everybody's behalf. I'm glad that didn't work out. Just saying.
I don't know. I don't know what I'll do. I have.
Can we strap a GoPro on you and have you go through the weekend?
That would be funny for you. Probably would not be funny for me.
Don't think so.
Probably not.
Put a recorder in your pocket at least. Something we can. It would make for great podcast fodder. I think you got to do it for that, if nothing else.
It would make great podcast fodder. So anyway, that's. There's a topic of conversation for the next couple months. I'm leaning towards not going.
I'm stunned.
I know. It's October.
And it's your only off week.
What? It's my only off week. I could either stay here and do nothing. I could go somewhere. What if the Cubs are in the playoffs?
Well, they're losing the series, you said anyway, well, so it doesn't matter.
Did you see him?
Carson can't go.
No, Carson cannot go.
Carson doesn't get Game 2 World Series tickets this year, no matter what, right?
No. I mean, the numbers are what the numbers are. I mean, I love him more than life itself. Would take 1,000 bullets for him. Would step into a pit of cobras to save him.
Ooh.
Oh, easily. But the numbers are what the numbers are. Yeah. He's 3-12 in Cub games. In an era where the Cubs don't suck.
He's the Baltimore Orioles of fans.
I mean, in an era when the Cubs are pretty good the last 3 years. The Cubs have been to the last 3 National League Championship Series. They're pretty good.
We're talking about home games, road games. He just loses.
And this only includes 2 games before this era. And they won one of those. No, they didn't.
So 3-10 in the era.
I got to correct myself. He's 4-12, not 3-12. I just remembered a win.
So he's 4-10 in the era.
Yes. No, he's 3-10. 3-11 in this era.
Okay, gotcha.
1-1 in the they suck era. 3-11 in the era that they are pretty good. They've won a World Series. They've been to 3 consecutive National League Championship Series. They're pretty good. They have the best record in the National League as of this moment.
That is statistically almost impossible.
I know. Isn't that weird? So, no, he can't go. He can't go to a postseason.
What do you do if somebody gives you 2 tickets?
I don't know.
Do you just not go for Carson's sake? But then you're passing up World Series tickets. What do you do?
What would I do? If you're an Astro or Yankee or Red Sox fan out there and the Cubs match up with you.
Buy McCready some tickets.
If I'm you, I'm getting me tickets. And I'm making it an offer.
Because Campbell, North Carolina give a crap.
Oh, no. We went to the Cubs-Giants game in San Francisco, and they were like, if you had stopped time and said, what's the score? I don't know. Beats me.
Just take one of your Twitter followers. Just pick one out. Spend the weekend with them. Share meals in a room. Preferably with Rebel in their name, in their Twitter name.
I don't think that's a great idea.
What is a great idea is Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting, understand your market, leader in condo financing and the float down option. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com. Podcast also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. 662-607-7773 is the phone number to get an annual contract signed. Let them take care of your yard all year long. Yard aeration as well. Good time for that right now. Or building that outdoor living area or outdoor kitchen just in time for football season. So, again, MasterCuzzLawn.com, 662-607-7773.
Another great idea is letting 7 South Tailgating handle all of your tailgating this fall. September the 8th will be here before you know it. Because time flies, and that's how it works. It's the first of 7 home games at Ole Miss. Maybe you're coming up for one of those games. Maybe you're coming up for just the conference games. That schedule starts a week later when Alabama rolls into town. Maybe you're coming up for every game. Whatever. Whether your tailgate is very intricate, whether your tailgate is really simple, whether you're using your own gear or whether you're needing to rent all of your gear, 7 South Tailgating can take care of you. This is their 10th year of business, and if you tailgate with 7 South once, you'll never tailgate without them again. No one can match their customer service, their attention to detail. So get in touch with Kyle Thornton and the people at 7 South Tailgating at 7southtailgating.com.
On the site at rebelgrove.com, I talked to Cliff Godwin yesterday, the head coach at East Carolina, former hitting coach at Ole Miss. He was also an assistant coach with Team USA over the summer. Paul Maneri was the head coach, the LSU head coach.
Did you ask him about Mike Bianco's hot seat? No.
I did not get a comment on that.
Such a homer.
I mean, really, it was bad that I've never really done that before, is gotten multiple quotes about Ole Miss players from the state coach. So had he taken the state job, we would have had that element going on. But
oh, you couldn't have done that.
No. Yeah, he was tired. They had a lot of road trips with Team USA. He just went to the Cape to watch a couple of his East Carolina players in the Cape League All-Star Game, and he talked to me about Parker Kiraisi, who pitched 9.2 innings for Team USA this summer without allowing an earned run.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it was very crucial in two wins for Team USA against Japan. Team USA took a series from Chinese Taipei, Japan, and then at Cuba. They took a road trip and did a five-game series with Cuba as well. So, successful season for them. Kiraisi, a really good summer. And Cliff, all the Kiraisi-specific stuff I put in yesterday. I'll probably put some other stuff in something later in the week. But just talked about how, you know, you hope they get tons of confidence from that, because not only having Team USA across your chest, but when you're playing the best players from those other countries, there is an extra element that when you do it in a positive way and have success for it, it's potentially a springboard for their next seasons. So, you know, good for Parker. He earned it. I mean, Mike Bianco has called him multiple times the best story in college baseball, and we are talking about a guy who for 2 years couldn't make an active roster and is now a consensus All-American that's pitching for Team USA. It's pretty remarkable. And, you know, just for his on-field stuff, nevertheless, the off-field story that follows him as well. So,
yeah, you know him a lot better than I do. Seems to be a really great kid.
Yeah, I mean, you run into certain people and certain stories that just you don't really have a lot of words, and I think that's something that's going on with following Parker a little bit.
He's very popular on his team, and no one has to tell me that. I saw it at the SEC.
Because he's a quiet guy. He didn't say much. He's pretty low-key personally.
I saw it at the SEC tournament when they came back.
After that throw over the head of Fortes.
Yeah, when they won the game. And they were far more excited about him being off the hook than they were about winning a tournament game that, in hindsight, was pretty meaningless.
Yeah.
And Helen Forsight was pretty meaningless. But they were happy for their teammate.
It appeared they were in good shape no matter what happened that day in Hoover. But yeah. It was all good. But anyway, I talked to Cliff about that.
So what happens next year? Do I have to go to the tournament?
I think so. I mean, I think I have to go to South Florida is the way I figure it. I mean –
But the tournament doesn't mean anything. So what would happen if we just said, hey, we're not going to go to the tournament?
Well, you don't know the tournament doesn't mean anything.
Well, that's true. If it means something, I definitely have to go. Is that the deal? You can't go? Are you like...
I mean, my record there is not bad. I've just never won it.
I was going to ask, are you to Ole Miss's SEC tournament champions what Carson is to the Cubs?
I've covered multiple finals. I'm like the Buffalo Bills of the SEC tournament for Ole Miss. I mean, they win a lot. They don't really go 0-2 a lot with me around. They just don't – they don't win. I watched them lose in the finals in 08. Watched them lose in the finals in 05. I guess that's it. I was trying to think there was one more, but I guess that's all. I've watched them play Vanderbilt like 14 times on Saturdays.
I've covered two SEC championships of Ole Miss's.
This one and
the one when they won it
in basketball.
No,
I was talking about baseball
too. Baseball too.
In 06?
I was in Mobile. We covered the
you
whole.
You covered that?
Oh, I had to cover as the SEC writer. I had to cover the whole damn tournament, unless Alabama or Auburn was in it, then I could bolt.
Huh?
Because the Alabama or Auburn beat writer.
Oh, gotcha.
But once they were out, I had to cover the whole tournament.
That was the day when they beat Vanderbilt in the finals in 06 that then Rivals.com publisher Grant Gannon was locked in the bathroom for the last out. He went to that bathroom in the upstairs press box at the Hoover Met, and the door jammed, and he couldn't get out. So he missed the ending and everything else and had to be escaped or gotten out of the bathroom.
Extricated,
yes. That would be the word. So, yeah. He always tells that story. He's like, I've covered this whole thing, and now I don't see the last two innings because I'm locked in a bathroom in the press box. I don't know that I've ever been, like, trapped in an elevator or locked in anywhere. Like, you know, Ben Garrett got locked in the vault or trapped in the Vault Hemingway elevator on the spring game day last year.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah, and he's incredibly claustrophobic. Like, he probably would have been clawing walls.
Yeah, I'm so glad I wasn't, like, stuck in that elevator with him.
Yeah, with him would be worse than just getting stuck in the elevator.
Nothing against Ben, but I can't imagine a worse person to be trapped in an elevator with. Because his panic button.
And when you know he's so high strung that it's.
He's high strung when he's not panicked. And when he hits the panic button, it would just be.
I think I could stay calm. They're going to get me out. Yeah. It's a hassle. It's a pain.
What do you do when you get to that point where you just got to pee?
Were we thinking it's going to take that long? Hours?
What if it takes hours?
Why would it take hours? See, now I'm getting concerned if it takes hours, because what has happened to the elevator shaft for this to be an issue?
Yeah, so what if you're in an elevator and they say, sir, it's going to be a couple hours, we're going to get you out of there, and you've got to pee. What do you do?
I mean, at some point you go, right?
Nature take its course?
I mean, what's your alternative?
Holding
if it's hours. Well, yeah, you're going to hold it as long as you can hold it. I mean,
I don't know.
As soon as you feel a little urge, you don't go, hey, let's just go in the corner over
right.
here.
You wait until you've hit the point of no return.
Yeah, whatever that is, which is a while, but I guess. Unless you're getting in the elevator to go to the bathroom.
See?
Hence, that's going to come much sooner than otherwise. I don't know. Things you get on the podcast today. Sorry, people. We've started with media conversations, and we have ended up here. CTE along the way, Parker Gracie, and more.
A man was arrested.
Yeah,
I'm trying to see where this is. In Boston, a man walked into a Planet Fitness, dropped his clothes, and worked out nude. He told investigators that he thought he was in a judgment-free zone.
Apparently he was judged.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
You'd have to make a lot. You'd have to be paid a lot of money to walk into a gym naked, wouldn't you?
Oh, there's,
because a gym's already kind of a difficult place for a lot of people when they look around and they compare. I mean, there's a certain anxiety for a lot of people being in a gym to begin with, and then walking into a gym naked.
The amount of money that it would take for me to walk into anywhere
naked
without clothes is an astronomical figure.
Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Julio Jones not reporting to camp Thursday because he wants his contract reworked. The Falcons are aware of his plans and hopes he just changes his mind because they said they will not rework his deal. I'd hate for that to go into the season and be a problem.
Who's advising him? That's not good advice.
And the Falcons have said we're not touching it, and he still decided he's going to hold out. So,
how much more does he have on his contract?
Jones signed a 5-year, $71 million contract in 2015 that included a $12 million signing bonus and 47 guaranteed. His base salary this season is $10.5 million.
I have no sympathy for Julio Jones.
None.
None at all. No understanding. You signed a 5-year deal. It included a massive, life-changing signing bonus.
No one made you sign the deal.
If you've gone through that money,
that's your problem.
That's on you. That's a you problem.
Yeah. You got the big contract.
And if I'm a Saints fan, I kind of like this. I want this to drag on.
You also want it to affect the locker room. You want somebody to get pissed off about it. You'd like everything that could bad happen.
Oh, it will be a distraction.
Think so?
Yeah, because if you're a Falcons beat writer, are you working this story? Just a little.
Yeah, you're walking up to Matt Ryan today and going, so, Matt, what do you think?
Pretty much asking it of almost any veteran player on that team.
Yeah.
How
do you guys handle this?
What are your thoughts on Julio?
Go.
Go.
Please say something.
And I'm going to listen to your answers, and I'm going to bring a follow-up.
Yeah.
Respectfully. So, are you angry? Because so-and-so just said he's angry. Are you angry?
Yeah, all you need is the one guy to say he's angry to you.
I need the one guy that goes, yeah, man, I mean, we're trying to get to the Super Bowl, and that's our goal here. We've been really close. And we've come this far from winning a championship, and that's the reason I'm in Atlanta is to win.
We're in a very difficult division, and we need everybody moving in the same way.
I mean, you know, the Saints are going to try to win. The Panthers are going to try to win. The Bucks aren't a pushover. They're kind of crappy, but they're not a pushover. But the Saints and the Panthers are both really good. And Drew Brees is still there, and Cam Newton is still there. And yeah, we got to, you know, I mean, Matt Ryan's kind of average, and we need. I need Julio to go make plays because he's a horse. And so he needs to be here. Or I need someone to say, yeah, man, screw management. Screw management. Mr. Blank's making a ton of money. Why can't he go ahead and give some of it to Julio? That'll work too.
That will work too.
I'll make whatever happen. Let's get this going. If you're an NFL beat writer, that's the story you're working on today.
Yeah. All right, guests throughout the week on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. More at rebelgrove.com as well. We'll talk to you soon.